You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys!
Hi!
Check out Rec Level 3.
What's that?
We're a gaming, geek, nerd culture fandom podcast.
Ooh. Wow!
And you can find us every Friday at 11:30 a.m. on reclevel3.com.
Yay!
Hello, and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. So, for this episode, the monster is unable to fulfill his podcast duties. Ha ha ha, I said duties. The monster was recovering from bronchitis, was out from work for almost a week, went back to work, and got sick again. The monster is just tired of coughing his brains out and would have made this podcast unbearable to listen to. To make matters worse, the monster is going to have a procedure on his right arm in the coming weeks. As Mr. Jean said, the monster is going to get a metal arm like the Winter Soldier, or get rebuilt like the $6 million man. Na 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 na. Was that funny? Screw you if you didn't laugh. Okay, so this is happening. I am going to speak for the monster during the entire podcast. Don't fight me on this, bro. I know Ultron. I can get him to kick your ass. If you don't listen to this show, the monster is a wonderful and caring man that only want to share his love of knowledge on all things geek. Give yourself unto the monster. The monster loves you. The monster is your master. Okay, enough of this third person crap. For today's podcast, I am going to review Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham season opener episodes, and a documentary on Netflix called Raiders, the greatest fan film ever made. Here is your spoiler alert. Let us begin with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The show is returning for its fourth season. A quick recap from last season. Daisy is on the run and Coulson has been replaced as director of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the opening scene, we had a bunch of bad guys getting away in a Jeep. Something is chasing them, which later we find out is the Ghost Rider. The motorcycle that Ghost Rider is normally known for is replaced by a souped-up black Charger, and it's on fire. In the brief fight between the bad guys and the Rider, Daisy is on the scene. She sees the Rider get one of the surviving bad guys and lock him in the trunk of his car. The Ghost Rider then flees and so does Daisy when the cops arrive. From there, we see Coulson once more with Mac flying in a Quinjet. They report back to base to get information about the Ghost Rider from Agent May. Coulson is no longer able to go after Daisy according to orders from the new director. We still don't see who this director is, but we know it's Talbot who's in charge. During the brief stay, we do get to see Fitz and Simmons. Later, we see the Ghost Rider, not in human form, interrogating one of the earlier survivors. He threatens him by saying, "If you don't tell me, you can tell it to the other guy," meaning the Ghost Rider. Next, when the Quinjet arrives, we get a scene with Mac and Yo-Yo. She was still being referred as an inhuman. That crap needs to stop since the Inhuman movie will not be happening anytime soon. Later, we see Yo-Yo meeting up with Daisy on a bus. Is Yo-Yo playing both sides? The two exchange information, and Yo-Yo gives pills to Daisy to help with the pain she has to deal with from her using her Quake abilities. Yada yada yada. The main thing to take away from the opener is Ghost Rider, and how Daisy finds him during the course of the story. Of course, they fight, but Daisy, finding herself on the losing end, tells Ghost Rider to end it, to end her. He doesn't. She lives to fight another day. She then tracks the Rider down in his human form and see him caring for his younger brother who is disabled. This Ghost Rider, unlike Nicolas Cage, seems to have little control over the change, when like Bruce Banner changing into the Hulk when he is angry. So, I have to do further research on this version of Ghost Rider, but I'm happy that he is Latino. This reminds me of El Diablo from Suicide Squad. We got to have some representation on the small screen. As for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the team is fractured, which should lend to better stories in the future, but honestly, the only appeal right now is because of the Ghost Rider. I'm hoping they can bring in more characters like the Absorbing Man from Season 2. The other problem the show needs is a better direction. And frankly, I don't care about the agents. I'm not invested in them. Maybe getting outside characters is the only way to move forward. We will see what happens. Okay, are you still with me? We are only a third through the episode. Now, Gotham begins in third season. We jump 6 months from the last episode from season 2. James Gordon is no longer on the police force. He has left Gotham to find Lee, except there is another man in a house. While Jim does see Lee, he does not knock on the door. Okay, I get why Lee left Jim, but Lee is carrying or already had their baby. At the very least, Jim should have at least seen his child. But never mind all that. As Jim goes back to Gotham in time to stop a robbery, the robbery is taking place in a pharmacy. While the pharmacist tries to give the burglar a chance to leave, the pharmacist gets thrown out the window. The criminal we see has these back, bony protrusions like a stegosaurus. Is this Killer Croc first appearance? He does look like Killer Croc, but he is not fully formed. He's kind of stuck in mid-evolution. All of a sudden, this is when Jim appears and starts to attack Croc. So Jim's a bounty hunter? Apparently so. The rest of episode catches us with the rest of the Gotham gang. Bruce is calling out the board members for being on the Court of Owls. We also get to see the doppelganger Bruce in the alleyways where Cat and Poison Ivy cross paths. Cat had stole Butch's wallet and gave some cash to him. Of course, Cat did not get a good look at him and thought he was just another homeless kid living on the streets. Another thing we see is that Cat is working with Fish Mooney, while Penguin has upped the reward ante to $1 million for Fish to be brought in dead or alive. Miss Peabody was killed off by one of Mooney's minions after not knowing where Hugo Strange was. Let me say this about Gotham. It's a slow burn. There's a good number of setups throughout the series that reward viewers down the road. I can't say that I was wowed by this episode, but every once in a while, there is something new added to the scene, like the Killer Croc moment, except that a truck ran into him and it appears that he is dead. I hope not. One of the other strengths of this show is the acting. While I hate that Fish Mooney is back, Jada, in the first season, really did an incredible performance. I felt this Eartha Kitt vibe from her really worked on me. And since then, we get guest actors who come in and nails their performance, like B.D. Wong as Hugo Strange and even Peter Scolari playing Commissioner Loeb. They really make those parts come alive. Those are the moments I want to see in every episode of Gotham. But that's just me. I like a show that knows how to keep an audience wanting more. So, Gotham is worth the time, but you need to put in the effort to watch to get those rewards. Coming into the home stretch, lastly, I want to talk about Raiders, the greatest fan film ever made. I watched this documentary about this fan film. As you know, I have talked about fan films on past podcasts. The two franchises that benefit from fans' passions are for series like Star Wars and Star Trek. Rarely, if any, have I seen any fan film that has achieved something this incredible and unique. The Raiders documentary tells the behind-the-scenes story on how this shot-for-shot adaptation was achieved by 10-year-olds Chris Stomperlis, Eric Zala, and Jason Lamb over the course of 7 summers. The story also continues with these kids, now as adults, and how their movie was incomplete. The missing scene has to do with the Nazi airplane where the Ark was about to be transported back to Germany. While all the flashback moments are in the past, can these guys truly finish their movie once and for all? Over the course of the documentary, I found myself in awe of what they have achieved and how their passion for Raider of the Lost Ark put this fan film in a category all by itself. Unlike the fan films for Star Trek and Star Wars, while set in the respective universe, did not copy the original source material. Sure, the Star Trek Phase 2 recreated many of the sets from the original TV series. All their stories were not remakes, and the same goes for Star Wars. Some would say that the Star Wars Uncut movie was a shot-for-shot adaptation of Star Wars, but the difference here is that the Raiders fan film was not outsourced and it was the same kids throughout the process and even at the end. Looking back on my own life, I grew up wanting to make films too. I went down to my local library and remembered researching how films were made. I would jot down notes on the different types of camera movements with my limited artistic renderings. The movie that I was planning on was with a friend growing up. She was and I were very much into the same type of horror and sci-fi movies. We planned on making a werewolf movie. Werewolf. That was a young Frankenstein reference. Or should I say, Frankenstein. Anywho, she came up with the name of the movie, Lupin. We did a couple of sketches of the werewolves, and the title card, and of course, her art was superior to mine. Still, we never got to make the movie or even make up the story. Watching the Raiders documentary reminded me of those times where anything was possible. This is not to say I am not able to do anything I want to do now, but I am a different person from who I was growing up. I have a family to raise, a marriage that is going on its 19th year, and a career as a librarian. But I did find myself living through the documentary. I found myself crying, seeing their dream fully realized. These were not tears of sadness, but of joy, to finally overcome all the obstacles that are thrown your way and to never give up. From running a full marathon to getting my library position after being laid off, I know that pain all too well. I am not saying that you will get the same emotions like I did watching the Raiders documentary, but if you love the Raiders movie, I implore you, go watch it now. It's on Netflix at the time of recording this podcast. Also, if you want to hear from one of the guys from the movie, go to the Earth Station 1 podcast, episode 330, and Eric Zalig being interviewed. There will be a link in the show notes in case you are too lazy to Google it. Okay, folks. This podcast is coming to an end. I hope that using the Siri voice to read this podcast to you was not too irritating. As for the future, I may be taking a break for a month for the upcoming procedure, but I can't make any promises. So, as a bonus to you, I am going to have Peter play us music to close out the show. Remember, you can email me at monstersci-fi-show@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. Thank you for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show, sci-fi from a certain point of view. Take it away, Peter.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. But it wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.